I like what Solomon said about life. Now, I put a worldly term to it when I'm sharing with somebody, but chasing the wind, it's fruitless. You can't see it. You can hear it sometimes, but you don't know where it is, and that's the way life is, too. It's like chasing the wind. So Phil is my editor for the online service, and he helps me with some critiques and so forth if I'm preparing. And he asked me the other day, he says, the title of your message, is it Dancing with the Wind or Dancing in the Wind? And I got to thinking about that. Isn't that the same thing? I don't know, but dancing in the wind is what I want to talk about. Because life in general is stressful. And stress can cause us some of the most serious hazards to our health, our peace, our relationships, and our ability to live life to the fullest. Stress inhibits our ability to handle all the unexpected things, and it closes us off in our interactions with others. It can keep us in a state of fight or flight, which means what it sounds like. Instead of engaging in life and loving, we either fight it or we will flee from it. And in doing so, we will make every situation worse. And we'll isolate ourselves even more. And stress can close us off from life in ways that makes our journey one of terror instead of an adventure. Because life is a journey. It is not a sprint. And it is an adventure, this thing called life. So what can we do? Some would say we need to increase our joy ratio. Now, there's a psychologist by the name of Barbara Frederick, and she said that every negative emotion that we experience is best centered and countered by three positive personal experiences. And that's what she calls the joy ratio. It's a 3-in-1 ratio, and it can help us stay healthy and calm and resilient through all of life's challenges and storms. Now, joy is not the same as happiness. And joy comes from feeling of satisfaction with life, a feeling of being blessed. The more that we live out a feeling of joy, the more our physical and emotional health and our relationships, even our motivations and ability to deal with life's unexpected curveballs will improve. But experiencing joy is not the same as having a mountaintop experience of happiness, taking a vacation, inserting more downtime in your day. And it doesn't mean that it's not working, but joy is not all about play. Joy is a frame of mind, or more accurately, the frame of our spirit, in which you feel a sense of joy no matter where you are or no matter what you're doing. And when you live out from a place of joy, from the depths of your spirit, you feel the joy in your work. You feel the joy in the time with others. You feel the joy in challenges. Even can feel joy in moments of hardship. Joy comes from a sense of deep satisfaction and calm that runs deep below the surface of our psychic. Dr. Fragerson also said, when she had done extensive research into these studies and the effects of living out a sense of joy, tells us that joy, whether from optimism or positively, laughter or inspiration or gratitude or relational encouragement, can entirely change the way we look at ourselves and the way we look at the world. Joy is literally changing, not only from our point of view, but our entire psychological and physiological spiritual makeup. Joy has the power to shift our minds and our hearts in a way that we don't understand it. I love that little song we sing at Vacation Bible School. I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart today. So she opens up with these three things and she says, as our vision or perspective changes and widens, so does our awareness and our ability to see possibilities, to be more creative and to change our sense of value about difficulties and even impedance. Joy can also help us see things in a more unified way, seeing ourselves as part of the big picture, and help us increase our trust in ourselves. That's an important thing. Trust in yourself and others and the world around us. It's important that we understand this joy. And whether our joy erupts from gratitude or being positive or having a feeling about our surrounding or even with our Creator or a feeling of peacefulness or contentment, the more that we experience joy in our life, the more we will see our lives in terms of a grand, exciting adventure rather than a series of hardships and difficulties. As Jesus assured us, it's all in the way that we see. So, okay, preacher, so how do you flip your ratio from stress to joy? That's where Jesus comes in. The scripture I read just a while ago, Jesus had been seen speaking and teaching from one of the disciples' boats, where the Sea of Galilee is, when they would get on a boat and they would just push off the shore a little bit. It's like being in an amphitheater. They could hear everywhere. Didn't need microphones. So along with the other boats, they were getting ready to set across the Sea of Galilee. And meanwhile, exhausted from the day, as I mentioned in my own interpretation of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus was God in a physical body, and he experienced everything we do, including being tired. So he was tired after talking to the disciples and ministering. He got into the boat, and he took a cushion and put it back at the stern of the boat and laid his head down and fell fast asleep. So when the storm rose up, the disciples began to panic. The wind whisked the boat around and the waves beat against it, so that the boat was taking on water. Jesus continued to sleep. I love that. Even in the midst of a storm, Jesus continued to sleep. Think about while we're asleep, how many storms of life is going on around us that we don't know anything about. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the disciples were becoming more and more distressed. At last, they decided, I got to wake him up. They were incredulous that he was sleeping through the storm and not equally perturbed, because they were perturbed. Why isn't he perturbed? Jesus calmed the wind and the sea, and they experienced instant calm. He said to them, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Well, faith is an important thing and part of our life, and sometimes we wonder ourselves, where is our faith? And why does he say that to them? Where is your faith? Well, if Jesus was there with you in your boat, wouldn't it make a difference? Ha ha, guess what? He's in your boat 24/7. But they still had not come to that point which they were sure that he was. Secure in what he could do and unsurprised at the power of God that flowed from his presence. To them, he was just still their teacher. Rabbi, the teacher. Now, this is important for all of us to understand, because it was important for the disciples of Jesus in that day to understand. We don't gain assurance in our faith from believing that Jesus was merely a talented teacher, and he was, a good person, which he was, a gifted prophet, which he was, or even a wise leader. And we don't get a sense of stability and feeling of joy that kind of radiates from us, oozes out of our spirit entirely from just imagining that Jesus is just a man who lived a long, long time ago, who continues to teach us lessons and give us advice about life and love. Oh yeah, we have the scriptures, and we thank God for the eyewitnesses that wrote down. Jesus never wrote a book, by the way. It was all eyewitnesses of what he did that they verified. But then he said he was going to send one greater than him, the Holy Spirit. So he is with us all the time, teaching us. He's the one that does the convicting. So if you're in the situation and you know you're not doing something right or something like that, and you get this feeling, it's Jesus just tapping you on the shoulder and letting you know, you shouldn't be doing that. I digress. So we gain assurance and experience joy like no other in our life, when we suddenly realize who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and He's imbued with all the creative power of our Creator God, the saving grace of the Son, and the continuing authority and change agency of the Holy Spirit. He is the incarnated King of Kings of all creation. And He is present with us in our boat 24/7. Jesus said that He had to go to heaven, but He was going to give us another one, the Comforter, the one who would be with you always, the Paraclete that would come alongside. Phil reminded us about John Wesley's birthday. And John and Charles Wesley John was an Anglican priest, and Charles, I'm not sure if he ever got to be a priest, but he was a songwriter. He was a very wonderful man that loved God and shared God with a lot of people. So John and Charles Wesley decided to set out for America. And they experienced stress and fear. The boat that they were riding in hit some storms, and it tossed the boat and the waves and crushed it up against the stern. Yet they were astounded because there was another group on that ship coming to America by the name of the Moravians. And they were calmly singing hymns all through the storms. That would be the turning point for John Wesley in his quest to find not just understanding about the salvation of Jesus, but a personal knowledge, and more importantly, a trust and assurance of Jesus in his heart, body, and soul. There ain't no doubt about it. Storms are frightening. But our peace does not come from an absence of storms. It comes from the presence of Jesus within us and around us as we sail through this thing called life. And being a disciple is risky business. So when we sail the open sea as a disciple and an apostle of Christ, Christ's followers as I like to term it, we encounter storms. No one lives a storm-free life. But Jesus is our calm in the midst of the storm and our joy in the midst of the wind. Sometimes in our lives we can fear that Jesus, He doesn't hear from us. You know, why? Does He really listen? Yeah, He does. But He might be asleep, preacher, to our experiences or even our challenges, even our pain. You sure He's not asleep? But He is there, and He does care. What we cannot control, He will help us maneuver through, and this is a cause for joy. As I mentioned in my little youth message there about being prepared, children, Jesus said, to come unto me in childlike faith. Because when we get old, we revert to our childlike state. I don't know if you ever noticed that. I'm getting to be a little childish in my old age, and I call it my weird sense of humor, and Judy just tells me, no, you're just plain weird, some of the things you say and do. But I digress. Children can teach us so much about faith and joy. One day, a storm rose up, and a young mother began shutting the windows in the house and securing the shutters. This was time when you had shutters and you had to close them. You remember those days? We didn't even have windows on some glass, I mean. We just had shutters in an open hole. In the house, she was securing them because the storm was coming. But she could not find one of her children. She looked high and low all throughout the house, and she began to become very worried. And as the trees creaked and swayed and the sky grew dark, she glanced out into the yard, and voila, there in the midst of the grass was her 5-year-old son, twirling and laughing and shouting at the wind. She called out to him and asked, "What are you doing?" "Mama, I'm just dancing in the wind." That's what disciples of Christ do, with those joy and the assurance of Christ in their life. And in their heart, they dance in the wind. They aren't afraid to take their discipleship boats out into the open seas, for life is a grand adventure. And when Jesus is with you in all aspects of your journey, that's what we need to realize or need to appreciate. Because sometimes we think we're alone. I like that what it says in Psalm 46:1. Sometimes we just got to be still and know that He is God. Just be still.